We have also to consider the situation Mahler had been in that time when he composed the Ninth Symphony. It was in 1907 when he quitted the job as a music director of the Vienna Staatsoper, and his daughter surprisingly died. In the same year, and also he got to know about his health problems, his heart problems, and it was not a good year for him, and I'm sure that also his personal problems with his wife Alma Mahler was very much involved in his thinking about to compose a symphony which I call the Farewell Symphony.
Manfred Honeck, Pittsburgh Symphony Music Director, conducting the Symphony No. 9 by Gustav Mahler at Heinz Hall. Jim Cunningham with you for Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Mahler was superstitious of writing a Ninth Symphony, knowing that Beethoven, Schubert, Dvorak, and Bruckner had only managed 9, so he wrote Das Lied von der Erde without giving it the number 9 and moved on to what would actually be his 10th symphony. From 1907 on, he worked furiously for 3 years, conducting the Metropolitan Opera and the New York Philharmonic, writing his ninth during the summers at home in Austria.
The Ninth Symphony has a very personal touch in it, and there's you feel physically the eternity when the music dies down in the end. It is enormous intensity of silence, where you feel the power of silence, and I think this ending is sensational. The whole symphony is sensational. I think it looks very much into the 20th century, that Alban Berg said one time, you know, this is the symphony of the new music in the century. And indeed, there are a lot of things we have never heard before in other Mahler symphony. It's still great, deep, emotional music, but he goes to the edges also.
Here is Manfred Honeck to conduct the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. You'll hear the Symphony No. 9 in D by Gustav Mahler. There are 4 movements, Andante, in the tempo of a Lendler, Rondo Burlesca, and Adagio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
the Adagio Finale of the Gustav Mahler Symphony No. 9. Manfred Honeck conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Manfred Honeck's arms and hands outstretched for what seems like a very long time, holding on to the silence at the close of the Symphony No. 9. Bruno Walter conducted the premiere of the ninth with the Vienna Philharmonic on the 26th of June, 1912. Former music director André Previn conducted the Gustav Mahler Ninth Symphony at Heinz Hall, as did Michael Tilson Thomas on a visit January 10th, 1986. The Pittsburgh Symphony and music director Manfred Honeck are performing all of Gustav Mahler's symphonies. They have recorded the first, third, fourth, and fifth for the Japanese Exton label, and recorded the second at the Musikverein in Vienna, as well as the sixth at Heinz Hall, with those two awaiting future release. Washington Post music critic Mark Estrin reviewed three of the Mahler recordings on the Exton label. About the third, he wrote, "The most recent of these three live recordings, and the best, is the Third Symphony, perhaps because this monumental work is so variegated and complex, so filled with mood and tempo changes. Manfred Honeck lets it soar with those glorious strings propelling the work's world-spanning gigantism. There are occasional most welcome touches of piquancy. The children's chorus in the fifth movement is delightful, and the strings are simply wonderful in the finale." Mark Estrin, writing in the Washington Post about the Third Symphony by Gustav Mahler, recorded for Exton by Manfred Honeck and the Pittsburgh Symphony. Gustav Mahler was a nature lover and a lover of animals, who appear in a funeral procession for a hunter in the First Symphony, known as the Titan. The animals include a bear, foxes, rabbits, a wolf, cranes and partridges, as well as songbirds. They seem to be deriving great joy from the occasion, with the rabbits leading a procession holding banners and music being sung by all the animals, accompanied by musical cats and a group of bohemian musicians. It's quite a scene. Music critic Ferdinand Fohl tells us that a stray dog once attached himself to Mahler in Vienna. Mahler took the dog to his favorite restaurant at the Hotel Belvedere. Mahler was inconsolable when he was told that the restaurant policy was no dogs allowed. Pittsburgh Symphony music director Manfred Honeck is an animal lover too. It's a good thing, because he was recently upstaged by the mascot of Carnegie Mellon University, Scotty, when Maestro Honeck received an honorary degree at CMU and gave an address to the music students. The flashbulbs were popping in the academic procession, but it turned out they were focused on the terrier.
This was one of the rare moments I had could be in Pittsburgh without making music, just enjoying Pittsburgh, and it was a wonderful moment in my life also to get this honorary degree from the Carnegie Mellon University. It was a special moment, and my wife Christiane and two daughters joined me, which was also a rare moment in Pittsburgh. It was a wonderful weekend, and I felt extremely honored to get this.
Congratulations, although I understand the flashbulbs were popping for the Scottish Terrier as well as your procession in the entrance to the ceremony there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a misunderstanding by me, because a lot of people took their iPhone out and made a photo, and I realized it's not me that they want to have a photo, it was the dog.
The Scottish Terrier, which is the mascot of the Tartans, yeah. Wow. But I understand that you were greatly, very warmly received by the music majors who you spoke to. What sort of a message did you deliver to them?
Well, I think it is always something special for those students who graduate. What is the purpose to study music? And they expect now their life. And to help them and encourage them to understand this is now the beginning of their life with a lot of expectations, and you will never be able to succeed if you don't live their life with the values. I think this is important to know. Whatever you do, do it with love, with passion, and you will be able to move mountains And that's the message for everybody, whether it's music students or not. We are living in a wonderful profession. I think we can make music that other people can enjoy it and to make other people happy. Isn't it a great profession? I think we have to be thankful for that.
That's a vintage 78 RPM recording of the Carnegie Tech fight song. I think Gustav Mahler would have appreciated the combination of the CMU fight song dating back to the days when the school was known as Carnegie Tech, the robes of the regalia at graduation, and Manfred Honeck receiving his doctorate along with Scotty, the school mascot, who was a favorite of Carnegie Mellon's founder and namesake, Andrew Carnegie. Gustav Mahler and Andrew Carnegie were contemporaries. It's conceivable that they might have met. The Carnegie Music Hall in New York was new, and Gustav Mahler appeared there on many occasions. We heard Gustav Mahler's Ninth Symphony, along with concertmaster Noah Bendix-Bangle playing the Beethoven Romance No. 2 in this Pittsburgh Symphony radio broadcast. During his years as music director in New York, Gustav Mahler brought the Philharmonic to Pittsburgh on December 5, 1910. He opened the season for the new Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall. 55 years later, Pittsburgh Symphony music director William Steinberg recorded all 9 Beethoven symphonies there, including the 9th, with Gustav Mahler's own orchestration. In William Malik's radio documentary for KPFA, bassoonist Benjamin Cohen and colleague Hermann Marton remembered Mahler's habit of reorchestrating Beethoven to get the sound that Mahler thought was best.
He was reckless in that respect, you know, and he just did what he thought it should be, not what it was.
He was the first one in this country, I think, who wanted double woodwinds for Beethoven or even Brahms, certain compositions where he wanted the woodwinds to come through because, you know, in the old days they had such a small wind section.
Pittsburgh Symphony music director William Steinberg was a close friend of Gustav Mahler's daughter, Anna. She was a sculptress whose bust of Steinberg appears on his Pittsburgh Symphony recording of Mahler's First Symphony. Anna remembers some personal details about her father, his voice, and the way he walked.
I remember him very well. I remember his voice. I remember his hands. I remember his walk. His very strange walk. I know exactly what it was because I walked with him. People say it was a nervous tic. It wasn't. It was irregular, but it was a change of pace. Every few paces, he just changed.
He shifted gear.
He shifted, yes, that was all. Why did it? I don't know. It was somehow nervous, apparently, but it was not a tick. It was not, you know, it just shifted.
Gustav Mahler's daughter, Anna Mahler. Conductor Bruno Walter knew Gustav Mahler well. They met when Bruno Walter was 18 years old in Hamburg. Walter spoke with James Fassett about his admiration for Mahler.
I attended his orchestra rehearsals and his performances. My musical impressions from this incomparable genius on the conductor's platform were equaled by the decisive moral influence his austere example had on me. Musical and morally, these first impressions were decisive for my whole life. I recognized in him, young as I was, not only a musical genius, but an ethical power, an educator, a leader of men.
Dr. Walter, after 50 years or more, the memory of Gustav Mahler is still a very vital force in you, isn't it?
More and more so. For the way he went as a musician, we must consider also of great human importance. After his first symphony followed the one in which he confessed his belief in resurrection, and each following work means a step upwards. Although nothing human was alien to him, and although his loving interest belonged to everything on earth that science, art, philosophy, or human relations could offer him, his deepest longing and his vision went beyond the earthly sphere.
Conductor Bruno Walter, remembering Gustav Mahler. I'm Jim Cunningham. Thanks for joining me. I hope you'll be back next week, same time and place, for a concert by the Pittsburgh Symphony. The Pittsburgh Symphony can be heard anytime on the Internet audio service Pittsburgh Concert Channel. It's available 24 hours a day. You can listen online or in iTunes with your computer or smartphone. The entire season can be found as streaming audio on demand. Write for your free program guide. Manfred Honeck is captured smiling and waving from his spot at the podium. You'll receive the Pittsburgh Symphony Program Reading Light and a list of all the programs in the Pittsburgh Symphony Radio series. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. Be sure to include your address and let me know what station you're listening to. Our address again is 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. You can visit our website at psoradio.org or send email pso@wqed.org. Brian Savar is the digital production engineer for Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Heinz Hall recording engineer, Harold Chambers. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins, who've underwritten in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
PRI, Public Radio International.